This is Primal Potential, and I am your host, Elizabeth Benton. Through education, motivation, and implementation, we will bridge the gap between knowing and doing so we can master fat loss naturally and help you reach your highest potential. Let's get started. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Primal Potential Podcast. I am Elizabeth Benton. Super excited that you are hanging out with me today to talk about something that has become very important in my life and very transformative in my life. I'm really excited to talk about meditation today, and probably most excited to clear up a lot of the myths and misconceptions about meditation, about the idea that you can suck at it. You can't, despite what you think. The idea that it's hard. Not all forms of meditation are hard, but some certainly are. And also about how meditation impacts hormones and fat loss. Some people see it as entirely unrelated and just this woo-woo thing that weird people do while they, you know, rub crystals together or something like that. It really is an important part of health and of controlling hunger and controlling cravings and improving your ability to make the kind of choices you want to make instead of continuing to feel like you don't have control or you're not on your own side. It absolutely is related to food and to fat loss, and I hope that you will resist any inclination to dismiss this by saying, oh, I can't, I've tried, I suck at it. I have felt that way too. And I would imagine that the people who have dismissed it probably didn't even click play on this podcast, but since you can hear my voice right now, I hope you will approach this with the understanding that maybe there is a different way, a better way, and a reason to really pursue this. And maybe you want to encourage your friends or family who perhaps skipped this episode to come back and give it a shot. I want to start by just sharing why I started meditating, because I'm not a woo-woo, hold hands, sing kumbaya, peace and love kind of person. I'm not. I am a science girl. I am a Yankee, right? Spent my whole childhood in the Northeast. We're direct straight shooters, waste no time, don't pull any punches, just very kind of linear and analytical by nature. But the primary reason I started meditating is because so many successful people swear by it. People who are busier than me, people who are more productive than I am, people who are more successful and more intelligent. And in general, I always look to what people credit their success to, whether that is their fitness, their business, their finances, their relationships. And I want to introduce things into my life based on other people's success with them. And that doesn't mean that everything that works for somebody else is going to work for me, but I try to be open enough to try it out. And with regards to meditation, there were just so many people in so many walks of life who swore that meditation made a massive impact on their ability to focus, on their mood, on their creativity, that I was like, all right, I mean, I'm not too busy for this when people far busier than I am say that it actually creates more time. So it's not really much different from why I started working out. People who are really fit and healthy work out. And same thing with morning routines. People who are very successful and productive swear by some structure in the morning. I like to improve. And I know that there is always opportunity, not just to be more productive or more successful, but to be happier and healthier. So I'm always looking at what people do, and not just one person swears by it, but when there tends to be a pattern or a trend, like there is with fitness, like there is with journaling, like there is with morning routines, same with meditation, I want to give it a shot. So that's really why I started primarily. Also, I found myself very much in a pattern with my days that while it was productive, it wasn't creating the kind of vibrant life I wanted. It wasn't creating the experiences and the richness of relationships and the eagerness to wake up every morning that I know is possible for my life. I was very much in a rhythm of work, 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 workout, eat, sleep, repeat. Work, 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 workout, eat, sleep, repeat. And I was kind of on autopilot, and I always felt very rushed. Not enough time, not enough energy, not enough money, not enough success, not enough fitness, not enough thinness. Life was very repetitive and felt like I just wasn't appreciating every day. I was just going through the motions. So I felt like meditation would help me be a little bit more conscious, a little bit more present, a little bit more deliberate in the design of my days so that I could be more deliberate in the design of my life. And I know that I'm capable of creating that kind of vibrant and fulfilling life, but I also know that I can't if I'm just stuck in a rhythm or a pattern of do, 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 and then do some more. Lastly, I was drawn to meditating to reduce stress. Not because I felt really, really anxious or stressed. I don't think I had much more stress than the average bear, though there certainly have been times where my stress was far above average, whether that was around the time of my divorce or around the time of moving back to New England or more recently with everything going on with the tiny house. Certainly had periods of abnormally high stress, but generally speaking, I was just aware that most of us have this chronic stress in our lives, and I needed to be more proactive in the reduction of that stress, in my improvement of the responses I have to stress, primarily because of the negative impact of stress on my health, on my hormones, on my appetite, on my body's willingness to lose weight. As I talked about in episode 453 of the podcast, if you haven't listened to that one, please go back and do so. I talked about how your body's priorities do not favor fat loss when you are chronically stressed. And when you're chronically stressed, you are more hungry. You do have more cravings, and you don't make as good of decisions as you possibly could because there's a different part of your brain that is in charge under stress than the part of the brain that is in charge when you're not under stress. So one of the reasons I was so drawn to meditation was to reduce that stress so that as a byproduct, decision making would improve, hunger would decrease, and cravings would decrease. So those are the reasons that I really was drawn to meditation starting probably a couple of years ago. I want to talk for just a second before we talk about what my meditation looks like and the impact that it has on me. I want to address the most common things I hear about meditation within the Fat Loss Fast Track. In fact, in one of the veteran groups, there is a week where we focus on daily meditation and really experiencing different types of meditation and seeing how they make you feel and if it feels easy or if it feels hard. And so because we're having those conversations and because people ask me about my own meditation, I hear all the time things like, I suck at meditation. And most people feel that way because they believe that meditating requires the discipline to stop thinking. And that's just not true. That is simply a misconception about meditation. First, there is a big difference between trying to stop your thoughts and trying to be aware of your thoughts. And most people will sit there and they'll be trying to do something like focus on their breathing. And then they realize they're thinking about their grocery list or the email they need to send or what's that weird noise outside. And they think, I suck at this. You don't suck at it. First and foremost, there are different types of meditation. They do not all require that you try to pay attention to something specific, right? So that's one thing. But the other thing is, even when you are meditating and you find your thoughts on the grocery list, that doesn't mean you did something wrong. That is, in fact, a normal and natural activity of the brain to go into periods of awareness and out of periods of awareness. So that idea of sucking at it is really nothing more than a misconception, right? One thing that I really worked on when I first started meditating was trying to not control my thoughts, but just to be aware of them. Like, oh, I'm thinking about work, or I'm worrying right now, or wow, I'm really giving a lot of thought to this relationship or this comment. And just like with food, it was a great practice at being curious instead of critical, being aware instead of judgmental. A lot of people, when they start tracking their food, they're beating themselves up over everything. And I say, that's not the point. You are not paying attention so you can criticize every choice you make, but so you can be aware, more aware of what you're doing. And meditation is impeccable training in that. Another reason that people say they suck at meditation is because they think the time goes by painfully slowly. Maybe they said they're going to do it for 5 minutes and it feels like 5 hours. Or the first minute in, they think that it's been 20 minutes and they can't imagine. It just feels agonizingly slow. And so they resist doing it because the time seems to drag on. That was certainly my experience with certain types of meditation, but not all types of meditation. So just keep an open mind that maybe the form of meditation you selected isn't the easiest form of meditation. Some are easier than others. Some are significantly harder than others. And then lastly, and this was a big hurdle for me, I don't have time to meditate. But here's what I have found to be true. Here's what so many others say. In fact, my friend went through a particular form of meditation training I'm going to talk about in a minute at the same time I did very recently. And we both feel surprisingly strongly that it has created so much more time because we're so much more focused and so much more efficient. And so when I have a moment where I'm like, I don't have time to meditate, I remind myself that it is not spending my time, it is investing my time. And just like a financial investment, you're not giving your money away. You're allowing your money to create more money. And so the time I give to meditation really does give me more time because I am so much more focused and so much more motivated and so much less distracted after meditating than I am before. And my meditation instructor, I'll tell you more about that in a minute, gave a great analogy of meditating being similar to shooting a bow and arrow, right? If you just hold the bow and arrow and you drop them both, they're not going to go anywhere. But when you draw back on the arrow in the bow, it's what allows it to go forward. And without that drawing back, the arrow does not move forward. And she said, meditation is very much like that. You are pausing to draw back the arrow, to create the energy that will then allow you to move forward. And so when I feel like, oh, I don't have time, it's such a crazy day, I have that visual in my head of, hold on. This is taking a moment to gather yourself and draw back that arrow. And it allows for so much more afterwards that you would not have if you didn't take that time. So how I started meditation is very different from where I'm at with it now. But I'm glad I started the way I did because I don't think I would have gotten to this point with meditation if I hadn't tried a bunch of different things and sort of dabbled a little bit on my own for a couple years. I started with guided meditations because that just seemed really, really easy and accessible. There's so many guided meditations out there for free, and most of them are, say, 5 to 10 or 15 minutes long. And so it didn't require this huge commitment of time. I didn't really have to know how to do anything. But Tara Brach has a podcast where, in addition to lectures, she also airs some guided meditations. Some of them are 5, 6, 7 minutes, others are 20 minutes or so. But I would start with the shorter ones of those. Or apps like Headspace and Insight Timer. I will link to all three of those over in the show notes. Headspace, Tara Brach, as well as Insight Timer. There's so many free guided meditations, and they vary. Some of them, they're guiding you through paying attention to how your body feels. Others are guiding you through thoughts and ideas, like thinking about somebody that you love and thinking about a pleasant experience you had with them, thinking about sending them loving kindness. They all vary. Headspace might have you imagining that you are floating on the ocean, different things like that. There's all sorts of different kinds of guided meditations, and I would try to do one of those every morning. And often, I would just play them on my phone as I was trying to fall asleep. And that was a way that I would kind of turn off my mind a little bit, or at least be thinking less about all the to-dos and more about just relaxing. Another type of meditation that I tried on my own was focused-based meditations, things like you're focusing on your breathing. So you sit for 10 minutes and your goal is to just pay attention to or follow your breath, right? So you're paying attention to the inhale, where it is in your body, where you feel it, how it makes you feel, and then same thing on the exhale. You can count the breaths, you cannot count the breaths. I also did things like box breathing. Box breathing is where, and the count number doesn't really matter, but you inhale for a certain duration, like a count of 3 or a count of 4, then you hold the breath for the same amount, you exhale for the same amount, 2 count of 3 count of 4 count, and then you hold it again for that same count. So that's why they call it a box, because you're sort of going, you know, 3 count up for the inhale, hold for a 3 count, exhale for a 3 count, hold for a 3 count. And so if you kind of envision that as up, across, down, across, that inhale being up, hold being across, exhale being down, hold being across, that's why they call it box breathing. I tried all of those things and I would use them differently, mostly with the guided meditations, less often with the box breathing or the focus on the breath kind of style. Quite frankly, because I found that the focus-based meditations were much harder for me. The time seemed to drag on, and because you're focused on one thing, you're very aware of when you're not focused on that thing. And I would realize, I'm not paying attention to my breathing. I'm thinking through an email I need to respond to, or I'm thinking about the fact that my foot itches. And it was just more opportunity to realize that I was screwing it up, so to speak. Even though I wasn't screwing it up, it felt that way to me. Whereas listening to somebody else talk felt easier and seemed to go by faster, but certainly not fast enough for me. Now I am practicing transcendental meditation, or TM, in addition to continuing some of those guided meditations, especially when I'm falling asleep. There are lots of different kinds of meditation. And here's the thing. They have different techniques, but they also require different levels of effort. They have different impacts on your brain and different kinds of benefits. And so just like there's lots of different ways to eat healthy, there's lots of different ways to meditate. And a lot of it is going to depend on you and your preferences. And a lot of it is going to depend on the results that you're looking for and the results that you get from whatever type you try. So there's concentration or focus style meditations. That would be like the breath-led stuff that I was explaining. Open monitoring is what a lot of the guided meditations look like. Any sort of mindfulness, awareness meditation. And then there's a category called self-transcending, which sounds a little weird, but that's the category that TM, or transcendental meditation, would fall into. And self-transcending, when I first heard that, I was like, where are you transcending into? Is that hypnosis? Like, what does that even mean? One of the best ways that I heard it described is that self-transcending is really like coming back to yourself, as opposed to being focused on something outside of yourself. And when I went through my TM training, that was explained in a lot of detail. Instead of focusing on something outside, you're coming back to yourself. And TM does this via the use of a mantra, a word that has no meaning, which again, I'll talk more about in just a minute. The reason that I decided to look into and eventually go through the training in TM was because so many prominent, successful people swear by it. And so it was no longer just like, wow, a lot of people are talking about the impact of meditation. It just seemed like everywhere I turned, somebody was saying that TM, transcendental meditation, was changing their life, whether they were recently practicing it or they had been practicing for 30, 40 years. Specifically, one of the biggest reasons that I decided to look into TM was because Ray Dalio, who is the founder of one of the biggest hedge funds out there, if not the biggest, I don't know, said that TM has been the single biggest influence on his life. So this is somebody who is very, very successful and has been doing it for many years. So it's not like he started last week and is swearing by it. He's been doing it for more than 40 years. And I kept hearing interviews where, despite his financial success, his career success, his success with books, his success in life, he kept coming back to TM. And he doesn't just credit to business success, but also to his personal success. This is what he said exactly. When I look back at my life, I am happy to have had what most people would consider a successful life, not only in terms of business, but in my relationships and in lots of ways. More than anything else, I attribute it to meditation, partially because of the creativity, partly because of the centeredness. Transcendental meditation has given me an ability to put things in perspective, which has helped a lot. I think meditation has been the single biggest influence on my life. So I was like, okay, I want to know more about that. And even outside of the financial or business sector, Jerry Seinfeld, he has been practicing TM for years, and he says he couldn't do what he does in life, in work, with comedy and the creativity that that requires without transcendental meditation. So I was like, what is that? How is it different from everything else I'm doing? And why is it so different from, say, Headspace, right? So TM, transcendental meditation, and when I first mentioned it to my mom, she's like, isn't that what the Beatles did back in the 60s? I was like, yes, exactly. They went and learned from Maharishi, but I'll get into that. So anyway, TM is transcendental meditation, and it's a form of meditation, as there are many, that's based on a mantra. And TM has many different mantras, and you get a mantra from somebody who has been certified as an instructor of TM. And the mantra is a word that has no meaning. So it's not like your mantra is apple. And the reason your mantra isn't apple is because if you start thinking apple, you're going to go to apple pie. And then you're going to go to my mom, and I should call her, or she pissed me off. And that your mind is going to go down into this rabbit hole based on the meaning and the feelings and the idea and the color and the flavors of that word. So it is a word that has no meaning, but it does have a particular sound quality. And they are purposeful in that sound quality because of the vibrational frequency, even though you don't say it out loud. So you're not chanting, it's in your head. And the technique of TM was brought to the United States by this guy named Maharishi, who is no longer living. I think he's been dead for about 10 years. But he basically started training people in the technique, and that's really the only way you can learn it. You cannot learn TM from a book or from a podcast, but only from an instructor. And the big thing that practitioners of TM and instructors of this technique say is that it's primarily different, not because of the mantra, though that is a big part of the difference, but because it's effortless. When I heard that TM was effortless, my first thought was, no, it's not. I had never done it before, but I was like, meditation isn't effortless. I've meditated and it's not effortless. So I was very curious about why they said that and what it means. And you learn that in your training, but I will say, I agree. The use of the mantra and the way you're not trying to control your mind to stay on the mantra, it allows your mind to settle inward and sort of go in the direction it wants to go, which is to calmness and to peacefulness, as opposed to the sort of frenetic chaos that most of us experience with thought. TM is practiced twice a day for 20 minutes each time, which made me go, no way. Meditating for 10 minutes once a day feels like a huge challenge. I can't imagine 20 minutes twice a day, and I don't know that I have time for that. But as I'll talk about in a minute, it has created so much more time. So with TM, this mantra-based technique that is practiced twice a day, once in the morning, once in the late afternoon or early evening, but not right before bed, it's based on not concentrating, not trying to control the mind, not trying to control the thoughts, not trying to empty your mind. And Maharishi, in his teaching of this, really explains that it's kind of the opposite of how many people think about meditation. And many people think about meditation as controlling the mind or concentrating. And with TM, you're not trying to concentrate and you're not trying to control the mind. And any effort to do so is the opposite of what you're trying to do with TM. And that's one of the reasons that working with somebody who's actually been trained in this, as opposed to just, you know, reading a blog and thinking you're good to go, is actually a huge benefit, because all the questions about, huh, how, if I'm not controlling my mind, what if I just don't have the mantra at all? They explain all of that in the training. The other thing that really drew me to TM, in addition to just the number of people who were swearing by it, people who are far more happy, successful, experienced than I am, is the amount of research behind it. It is the most studied form of meditation out there. And I love that, being a little bit of a science geek and being a skeptic and a cynic and all of those kinds of things. But the research is very compelling for TM related to reducing stress, specifically reducing the hormone cortisol, reducing anxiety, decreasing the presence of negative emotions, and increasing creativity and memory and happiness and all of those things. I'll mention a few of the studies, but there are hundreds of them. There was a study conducted by Stanford, and they looked at various meditation techniques, and TM, they found, is twice as effective at reducing anxiety compared to other forms of meditation. I mentioned in the stress episode, the previous episode, that the journal Hormones and Behavior looked at meditation and specifically at transcendental meditation and found that compared to control groups who were not practicing transcendental meditation, TM reduces cortisol by 30%, 3-0. That has a massive impact, not just on health, but on hunger, on cravings, on healing, on so many different things, on insulin sensitivity. The American Heart Association looked at TM compared to other meditation practices and found that TM lowers blood pressure, where other forms of meditation did not. There was a long study, a 5-year study published in the journal Circulation, and it looked at patients with coronary heart disease and showed that comparing individuals with coronary heart disease who practiced TM, comparing them to folks with the same coronary heart disease that did not practice TM, those practicing TM had a 48% reduction in heart attack, stroke, and death. There was another study in the Journal of Human Stress showing lowered cholesterol levels in folks practicing TM, where that was not seen in individuals not practicing TM. The research is so compelling that the United States military has put millions of dollars into TM training programs for soldiers, especially because of the impact that it's having on soldiers with post-traumatic stress disorders. And schools, so many schools are investing in TM training for their students and incorporating TM morning and afternoon. And the impact on behavior, on attendance, on performance, and attention is staggering. Absolutely staggering. I have been practicing TM for about a month now since my training, and I want to share what I have experienced personally, but I know that anecdote does not equal data. So I wanted to round this out. I told you guys that one of my friends started his training right around the same time that I did, and he is a medical doctor. He is even more analytical and skeptical than I am. Busy schedule, long shifts, call schedules, etc. Certainly had concerns about being able and willing and desiring to meditate 2 times a day for 20 minutes. So I sent him a text the other day and I said, hey, I'm going to talk about this on the podcast. Would you be willing to share your experience with it? And I am going to tell you exactly what he texted me before I share with you my own experience, because again, he's a guy. He is a doctor. He is busy. He is skeptical and all these things. So this is what he said. As to why he wanted to begin practicing TM and go through the training and all of that, I'll tell you what the training includes here in a minute. He said, I am always curious, always wanting to learn and grow, and TM is something I've been wanting to try for a while now. And he describes himself exactly how I would describe him. He said, I'm very analytical, scientific-minded, not at all a woo-woo type. I like how there are so many peer-reviewed scientific articles about the benefits of TM. I was also drawn to it because so many people who are more successful and intelligent than I am speak so highly of TM and credit the technique for much of their personal and professional success. So kind of like what I said. And then he said, here are a few observations since I have started. And again, he's been doing this for a few weeks now, twice a day, every day. Here's what he said. He said, TM is easy. 20 minutes seems to go by fast. It's so much easier than trying to control your mind or follow your breath during meditation. Like me, he had tried those other things as well. Then he says, I have more energy. I've noticed a change in energy immediately, starting on day 2 of my training. The mid-afternoon slump is gone. I can also be more alert and productive much later into the day. And then he says, number 3, I am more clear-headed. It's like some cobwebs have been cleared out. I'm more efficient at work, more motivated, and more productive, and I was not at all unmotivated or unproductive before TM. Number 4, he says, I am less reactive. Yes, things still bother me, but the emotional response to stimuli has been muted. I am able to approach issues more level-headed without unnecessary emotional reactions. Number 5, he says, I am happier. No major changes have happened in my life since starting TM, but I am internally happier, more content, and less stressed. And I'm going to add a couple more things that have benefited him that he didn't mention in this text, but he had told me before in previous conversations, and I asked if I could share them since he didn't include them in his text, and he said yes. He said he's noticed a heightened sense of taste and smell and sound. Like, he's just, everything's a little bit sharper than it was before. So flavors are brighter, and he is just more sensitive to everything around him, but not in a bad way, like in a good way. Like, it's just, life is brighter. And then the other thing that I thought was really significant is he said he's drinking less alcohol, but not intentionally. He loves beer, he loves wine, he loves cocktails, and that hasn't changed. But he said routinely he would have 2 to 3 drinks at night because he felt the need to unwind and relax. And he's still been having a drink every once in a while, but not every night, and not because he feels like he needs to. And he's like, I'm not going to stop drinking. He said, but naturally, I just started drinking less. He said he went from having 2 to 3 drinks every night to, in a 3-week period, he had like 3 drinks total. And again, not because he was trying to or even desiring to drink less. He just didn't feel the draw to it, the need for it. So my own experience, I was legitimately worried about 20 minutes 2 times a day, because like I said, before that, it was really a big win to get 10 minutes once a day. But I will tell you, not only have I not missed or skipped a single one, I really look forward to it because the benefits started so quickly. Like he said, day 1, day 2, I was feeling better. Many of my sessions, the 20 minutes that I sit for, there still is a lot of thought. Sometimes it's mostly thought. But I also have many moments in those meditations, in every single one, even if it's just for a matter of 5 seconds, where I feel a deep, deep, deep sense of rest or peace that I hadn't ever experienced in any kind of other meditation. I also have noticed that I am way more productive. So I have a routine that I very much go to in my days that looks very similar, where I wake up at a certain time and I have this list of things that I get through. And what I was explaining to my friend is I get to the end of it much more quickly than I ever did before. And the funny thing is, I had to look back and go, am I just putting less on my list? Am I kind of like cutting myself slack? Like, what am I forgetting? Am I just creating easier days for myself? So fortunately, because I have these lists, I went back to compare and I was like, no, not at all. Actually, I'm doing just as much. But when it would normally take me, say, from 5 a.m. till 5 p.m. to get to the point where I was like, all right, I've done everything, I have consistently found that it's 1 p.m. or 2 p.m. and I'm like, I'm done. Holy moly. So I am far more focused and far more productive, which is amazing because I was productive beforehand. I'm less hungry and I have fewer cravings and I have less of a desire to eat after dinner. And understanding the science behind TM, I understand that a big part of that is surely the reduction in cortisol. But I also think that a big part of it is being more peaceful, because oftentimes that like desire to turn to food in the evening is a little bit of unrest or loneliness or dissatisfaction or the desire to comfort myself. And there's less of that. There's more of a desire to work out. And I think that is in part because I feel more energized. Like my friend said, the afternoon slump is gone. I've really noticed that too. I used to very much, I get up early and I used to kind of really struggle around the 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon hour. And I can say very honestly that I straight up don't feel that way anymore. Little things that are just silly, it feels more effortless to keep my house clean. I try to be really good about that anyway, but it often feels like a chore, and it kind of doesn't feel like a chore. It just seems to happen much more effortlessly now. And I agree that TM feels so much easier than other forms of meditation. The time does go by pretty quickly, whereas others have felt very, very slow. There are certainly days where it doesn't go by very quickly, but I find it deeply relaxing. And I do feel more calm and generally happier, more accepting of things that happen around me, more clear on what I want and what I don't want. I'm falling asleep more easily. I'm waking in the night less often. I feel more rested when I wake up. And generally, I am more alert, but not in a jittery or sort of like aggressive way. It's a calm alertness. And while I didn't have the experience of drinking less alcohol like my friend did, because I'm not much of an alcohol drinker to begin with. I don't drink very regularly, but I am unconsciously drinking less coffee. I love coffee, and without thinking about it, my coffee consumption has gone down significantly. And again, this is just after a few weeks, which is so exciting. And it's one of those things where I told my mom, I was like, Mom, you need to go through this. You need to do this. And it's something where I want to invest my own money in helping people get scholarships to do this. That's the thing, because it's not free to learn TM, but they don't turn anybody away because of an inability to pay. There is a sliding scale and there's a lot of different scholarships. And I think this is so significant in my own life and my own experience that I care about it enough to be like, I want to contribute to these scholarships for other people. While that's something that's different about it, that it's not free and you can't just learn it from a book, that's something that made me skeptical. I was like, why can I learn about all these other things in a book or on a blog or a podcast, but not this? Why can I learn all these other things for free, but not this? Why do I have to go learn from a certified instructor? But now being on the other side of it, I actually see that as a big advantage to TM, that you're not just struggling and doing it wrong on your own because you read about it on a blog from somebody with an opinion, but somebody has taken the time and invested their time and energy in being trained to make sure that they teach you in a way that really benefits you. Because I think that if you could learn TM from a book or a blog, that it probably wouldn't have the effectiveness that it has because of the amount of training that these teachers have. So being on the other side of it now, I'm really glad that I took the time to be trained by somebody. And I also think that having to pay to learn kind of gives it more of a sense of gravity and increases my commitment to it. So TM is taught in the United States by the Maharishi Foundation. Remember, I said Maharishi is kind of the guy that brought it over to the United States, started teaching people about it. And the Maharishi Foundation is a nonprofit, 501c3, and all the revenues from the course fees go to supporting their educational and charitable initiatives around the world. There are no owners of the foundation, no shareholders, no board members. Nobody profits from the organization's programs. I think I paid either $940 or $960, which I know is a huge amount of money. Two things about that. Number one, there is a sliding need-based scale. And number two, there are lots of different scholarship programs and initiatives, okay? So if I had said, you know, my income is XYZ, I can't afford that, then there would have been a sliding scale. I don't know what that is. I didn't go that route. I just paid the course fee. With that course fee, though, I did 4 days of training with an instructor, 4 consecutive days. That's how it works. I'll tell you about that in a second. But now I can go to any instructor anywhere in the world now that I've been trained, and that is, I don't pay extra for that. When they have refresher courses in any city, in any country, because I have paid, I go to those at no cost. I can reach out to my instructor at any time and say, hey, I'm struggling, or I stepped away from my practice and I want to get back into it, and I can do that with my instructor or any instructor at no cost. Okay. There are TM retreats and stuff, which you do pay for in addition to your training if you choose to go to a retreat, but you're not just paying for the 4 days of training. So the way that it works is if you want to learn TM, you go to tm.org, tm.org, and you can find an instructor near you. And in most cities, the way it works is there are introductory classes, and you have to go to that first. It's just a little 1 hour, 90 minute lecture where they talk about what TM is. And then from there, you decide if you want to learn. When you are ready to learn, you do 4 consecutive days of about 90 minutes of training, 60 to 90 minutes, I would say. Now, I learned on Cape Cod, and so typically it's your first of the 4 days is one-on-one, and then the subsequent 3 days are in a group. For me, because there just weren't groups happening on Cape Cod, it was 4 consecutive days of one-on-one. My friend, who learned on the West Coast, he did his first day one-on-one and then 3 days of group follow-up. Now, his schedule is not as flexible as mine is because he works for a hospital. But what he did was he did a Saturday and a Sunday when he wasn't on call during the day, and then a Monday and a Tuesday at night after work. I did a Tuesday through a Friday. That is how you learn. And on the first day of your one-on-one training, your instructor gives you your mantra. And you don't say your mantra to anybody else. You don't talk about what your teacher taught you, because they really want to make sure that anybody being taught TM is being taught by somebody who's trained in the instruction. And while I was skeptical of that at first, it was hugely, hugely beneficial to me. And it has really, really, really made a big difference for me in my life. So that is the way that it works. I went for a checkup a week later. It's not really a checkup, but I just met with my teacher a week after I finished my 4 days to see how things were going, to do a little meditation together, to watch a little instructional video. But that is how it works. Now, you don't have to learn TM. You don't have to pay anything. You don't have to practice that way. There are so many different ways to meditate, but I've been getting a lot of questions about TM, what it is, how it's different, why it works. And you might be thinking, you might have a lot of questions about the specifics of TM. And there's a reason I didn't go into a lot of that. And that is because it is intended to be taught one-on-one, or at least one-on-one at first, and then in a group setting by somebody who is trained. So I wanted to share my experience with it, but being taught TM and the nuances is something that really should happen and does happen with a trained instructor. So hopefully you guys found this helpful. I think there's tremendous value in any kind of meditation, slowing down, being more deliberate, less reactive. And I just wanted to take a minute to talk about how TM has been such a positive influence in my life. If you have questions, please leave them over on the show notes at primalpotential.com. And if necessary, or if desired, I would happily do a Q&A follow-up post on this. Have a great day. I'll talk to you soon. Thank you so much for joining me for another episode of the Primal Potential Podcast, where my goal is not to inform you, but to transform you. And if you would like to receive free motivation and strategy and recipes, workouts, meal ideas every week right to your inbox, just text the word primal to the number 44222 or go to primalpotential.com/join. It's a great way to get the tools, the strategies, and the practical implementation assistance that you need to create your own transformation between podcast episodes. Just text the word primal to the number 44222 or go to primalpotential.com/join. See you there.